It is time for the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. I'm Jill Kaufman, and with us today is Kristen Palpini, reporter at the Berkshire Eagle. Welcome.
Hello.
And Matt Szafranski, editor-in-chief at Western Mass Politics and Insight. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. The big story of the week is a horrific scene in Parkland, Florida. Of course, a high school shooting that left 17 people dead. And unfortunately, we know this news cycle all too well in New England with the Sandy Hook massacre in 2012. On the same day of the Parkland shooting, Connecticut U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal says that the television images from outside the Florida school felt like a gut punch.
My heart breaks to hear that one more school is facing this unthinkable horror, that, again, this harrowing scene plays before the people of America, literally unfolding in real time.
Almost immediately, the conversation turned to gun control. Kristen, pretty much the entire New England congressional delegation is in favor of expanded gun control measures. So what about a move to shut down government unless gun control legislation goes forward? Or, you know, how long is blame the Republicans an acceptable statement?
It's not acceptable anymore, but I don't think that the Democrats have it in their spines or possibly in their capability to lead on this gun control issue. So I think we need an Occupy Washington movement for gun control.
Wait, say more. What do you mean you don't think they have it in their spines?
Well, I mean, we've been here before. We've had the shutdown before by the Democrats, and they folded, and we're in the same place. So, you know, they talk a big game. They put on a show, but in the end, we are nowhere closer.
Okay. There is another bill in this state. It would allow authorities in Massachusetts to temporarily seize weapons from someone who's deemed a threat to themselves or others. We just want to hear from Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey on this. She says it's one part of a broader strategy that could save lives.
We need to use all strategies around prevention, around education, and certainly reducing and eliminating the likelihood that guns are going to end up in the hands of people who are a known danger to themselves or to other people.
So the Gun Owners Action League says taking away weapons from a person with mental health issues could exacerbate those issues. Matt, the state moved to ban bump stocks quickly after the Vegas shooting that was just in the recent months. Do you see this gun seizure bill likewise passing in the coming days? Has it gained any traction because of that history?
Well, I think that you're going to see another move for the legislature to do something, or at least look at how they can do what they're already doing better, maybe more funding for checks and whatnot. I don't know that it's going to be this particular bill. I do know, however, that of all the issues that, you know, the House is to the left of the Senate on, gun control is definitely one of them. And I wouldn't be surprised if Speaker DeLeo puts forward something in the next couple of months. Maybe it's vote on this bill. Maybe it's something else.
All right. Let's move to some more local politics. This week, not one, but two Western Massachusetts state representatives announced they would not run for re-election. Steve Kulik of Worthington and John Sybeck of South Hadley both said they would retire at the end of the term. Sybeck says he announced his decision to give potential candidates time to plan.
What I didn't want to do was make this decision at the last minute and kind of force people into either deciding yes or no without giving it, you know, the deliberation it really needs.
So Mr. Sybeck has been in his seat since 2003 and Kulik since 1993. House Speaker Robert DeLeo told the media they will be, quote, severely missed. Matt, you wrote about this shakeup and its impact on Western Massachusetts' influence in the state legislature, especially with Stan Rosenberg giving up the Senate presidency.
Yeah, I think there's the impact in the short term, you know, after this term ends, is going to be the loss of that very strong voice, not just a loss in Western Mass, but a loss of this particular kind of seat. I mean, Kulik represents probably one of the most liberal but rural districts in Massachusetts, and Sybeck represents, places like South Hadley, which have Mount Holyoke in them, but also East Hampton, you're gentrifying mill towns. You know, the non, you know, traditional urban part of Western Massachusetts. That's a real loss to have those areas not get that same level of influence in a House of Representatives that is very much run by people who've been there for a long time.
Right, and all those towns, while they might share in common that they are rural or rural-ish, they have very different issues.
Absolutely.
With schools and roads and systems. Kristen, in recent years, there have been some young people, very young people, in fact, elected to the legislature, Eric Lesser of Longmeadow and Solomon Goldstein Rose in Amherst. Will it be good to get some younger voices in there and maybe even some more women?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I do think this is a loss at the moment, especially for rural areas in Western Mass. But Yeah, you know, it is always exciting to get new ideas, new initiatives in. You know, whoever comes in will have different priorities than the last two, and it'll be exciting as voters to get to choose.
Let's move on to some national politics. In a surprise speech at the National Congress of American Indians, Senator Elizabeth Warren took on President Trump's Pocahontas taunts and made her heritage clear, at least in the speech. Her mother is part Native American, she told the crowd, and relayed the story of how when her mother first met her father, they had to elope because his parents didn't approve of their marriage because of that heritage. And she made this distinction for the crowd.
You won't find my family members on any rolls, and I'm not enrolled in a tribe. And I want to make something clear. I respect that distinction. I understand that tribal membership is determined by tribes and only by tribes.
Kristen, does this distinction matter to anyone else, Republicans and Democrats?
You know, I think it does. It is a big distinction. Tribal is something that's certified. You went through it. You've documented it. But, you know, a lot of people have stories in their history about what their grandparents and great-grandparents went through.
So she was well-received. You know, Warren was well-received at that event, at least. And she also said to the audience that she has never used her heritage to advance her career. But Republicans challenging her this year in the Senate race say she hasn't proved that. Is this speech, Matt, about this Senate election or maybe about a 2020 presidential run?
It's hard to read that as anything other than a 2020 situation because in this issue was more or less settled, I think, by Massachusetts voters. It's kind of funny to see that it's being, you know, relitigated by like the Boston Globe, because the Boston Globe pretty much already came to a conclusion about that, you know, 6 years ago. So I think this is more about trying to get that out of the way before it becomes a problem if she just starts looking into 2020.
We'll see what Absolutely. Happens. Matt Szafranski, editor-in-chief at Western Mass Politics and Insight, thank you very much for your insight. And Kristen Palpini, reporter at the Berkshire Eagle, it's great to have you in here.
Thank you.
You are listening to The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review, and you can listen anytime at nepr.net/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jill Kaufman. This is New England Public Radio.